Good morning. Came across a story of a man who, in April of 2011, in and around San Antonio, Texas, he was released from prison. He had been in prison for the last 26 years because he killed a man when he was 18. 96 days after being released, he poured gasoline through a window of an empty house, then threw in flaming rags and paper towels, setting the place on fire. Days later, he told the police that he did it because he wanted to go back to his job at his former prison unit. He'd been in prison since 1983, and he said that he felt like everything had gone fast forward without me. I didn't know how to use computers or cell phones or the internet. It was just so overwhelming. I was constantly embarrassed by the simple things I just didn't know. So he set a house on fire in order to go back. Sounds crazy, insane, very strange to want to go back to a place that none of us want to go to. But this man did not feel comfortable with this newfound freedom that he had been given, this liberty, this freedom that had been granted to him for serving the time that the state apparently said that he deserved. Possibly he liked the order and the control that he received in prison, the structure. He said he wanted to return to the job that he had in prison. While in prison, he knew his role. He knew his job. He knew the rules that he had while in prison. And he was comfortable with those. Outside of prison, he might not have felt like he knew his role. He didn't know his job. He didn't know his place. Outside of prison, there was no one to tell him what to do and when to do it and how to do it. He had to make up his mind for himself. He had to make his own decisions. So in order to get back to that control, to the rules, to that structure that he was used to and comfortable with, he committed another crime to go back. After their exodus from Egypt, the Israelites were also given a set of rules. They were given commands, instructions. In some cases, very specific instructions on how to live, what to do to please God, what to do if they didn't follow those instructions, and how to get right. These rules and these instructions were called the Old Law or the Law of Moses. This law included the Ten Commandments and gave additional instructions about I'll just give a list here that I quickly found, a summary of them. Instructions about murder, theft, honesty, adultery, marriage, divorce, what to do around people with skin diseases, what food was clean to eat, what food was unclean to eat, how to cook and store food, several different feasts for celebration or remembrance, animal sacrifices for sin offerings, instructions for priests, and on and on. But very specific and lengthy instructions in a structure of what to do and how to live. And for centuries, the Jews lived by these rules, by these commands, by this law. And they lived according to what their parents, their grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on had taught them and shown them, because that's how they lived and that's how they were taught. So after Jesus' death and resurrection and the apostles preaching a new law, a change from the old law and away from all of these rules and regulations that they have lived with for centuries, there were some Jews who had converted to Christianity who had trouble giving up all of these laws, all of this, these rules and these structure, this structure. And some of them wanted to keep both the new law and parts of the old law. And that began to spread. That thinking spread even to the Gentiles who weren't Jews. They didn't have these commands for centuries. They didn't have to live by all these structure and rules. But it did spread to these Gentiles who began to believe that in order to follow God's instructions, they need to still follow certain parts of this old law, specifically like the act of circumcision, the observance of the Sabbath day, and eating of certain foods. This was called Judaism. And these Judaizers would also try to convert others to their beliefs as well, to get more people to follow this belief that the new law was not enough. It was not enough to save them. They had to do that plus these additional works. And in the area of Galatia, which is where modern-day Turkey is today, there are several churches in that area, and there was beginning to be some trouble with these Judaizers, these people who were spreading these beliefs and leading Christians away from the true message, the gospel of Jesus. The Galatians were considering rejecting the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus, and reverting back to being dependent upon this law of Moses in order for salvation. So Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians to remind them and all these churches there that Jesus' sacrifice plus obeying the law did not equal salvation. Only Jesus plus nothing else equaled salvation. To start off, I'd like to read from, obviously, the book of Galatians, beginning in chapter 1, just to kind of lead us into exactly what Paul's writing about here and his feelings about what's going on with these churches. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul was shocked that these Galatian churches were already turning away from God to this other gospel, and that they were perverting or changing the gospel of Jesus that they had been taught. And I think Paul makes a very serious statement there in verse 8. It says that if anyone preaches any other gospel than what they, the apostles, had already preached to them, that person doing the preaching be accursed. This letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, it outlines the differences between the two approaches to salvation, the two paths to getting the salvation from God. One of them is obviously the grace of God, getting salvation through God's grace because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And also the works of the old law. I found the comparison that Paul makes in this letter interesting because there's, as we'll go through each, there's almost one verse and I'll give you both sides of it right in that one verse. So you can definitely see the differences between keeping just the new law and following the old. And I also found that And I realize that we're so blessed to have this new law. And we don't have to worry about all the strict rules and regulations that were in the old law. Now, obviously, we never lived under the old law, but you can just imagine, if you go back some time and read exactly what had to be done, it would be very hard to keep that, and obviously impossible. But this new law, it is possible for us to keep it with how he set it up. This is something that we can manage with God's grace. So looking at this, it was just a good reminder for me of how blessed we are to have this law and the importance it places on each of us to manage our own lives. By not having that structure in our lives, we're dependent upon kind of our own actions and also the faith and the grace of God. So like I said, I'll be reading from Galatians this morning. I'm not going to be reading in order. I'm going to be jumping around quite a bit, going from place to place, but it's not very long, so you should be able to turn back with me if you want to follow along. So first I would like to look at what God's grace, the salvation through grace, and what the law, the old law, is based on, the foundation of each of these beliefs. So this first would go to the second chapter, verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified." This verse actually has two differences in it. This first one I'm wanting to look at again, what's based on. The old law, it says there was based on the works, the actions of the Israelites, what they did or what they didn't do and then had to do something else to make up for it. But our salvation does not come from the works of the old law, but instead it comes from the grace. And that grace is based on the faith in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. So it's not based on the works. Salvation is not based on the works like the old law was. It is based on faith and believing what he did for us. He made the work for us. He did that one work of dying for us, so we don't have to. And this verse also, like I said, it has another differences. It also talks about being justified. It has the word justified in there a few times. And justified means to be acceptable to God, be acceptable in God's eyes. And so Paul points out the differences of how the way we are made acceptable to God. So I'll read it again. I'll just look for the justification part of it. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified." Man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. We are not made acceptable to God by the works we do, by keeping that old law. It's by having faith, again, in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made, and that faith. And then Paul also makes this point again, that it's not by works. In the third chapter, Galatians 3, verse 11, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." So again, it says that no one is justified by the law. The law does not justify you. Keeping the law is not what's going to make you acceptable to God. It's God's grace. God's grace is what is going to make us acceptable to him. And turn back to chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The salvation we receive by the grace of God begins and ends with Jesus. Because of the faith that we must have, we bring him into our lives. Jesus is living through us. I'll read it again. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then in chapter 5, verse 2, Paul writes about Jesus and the law and their relationship. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, keeping the law, the old law, Christ will profit you nothing. Paul was saying that if these Gentiles were getting circumcised just because they believed they needed to, in order to fulfill that work and gain salvation, Paul is telling them that Christ has nothing to do with that. Christ didn't ask them to do that. He wasn't saying the act itself was wrong. It's that belief that without that act, without that work, then they would not receive salvation. There was no profit in doing that extra work. There was no benefit in doing that extra work. It profited them nothing to do that extra work. Turn next to Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now being made perfect by the flesh? So in verse 2, Paul is asking the Galatians if they received the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit came down and granted them the miraculous gifts that they had, was this done by keeping the works of the law, by keeping the law, or was it by having the faith and hearing the faith? And having the faith in Jesus. The Galatians obviously would know this answer, that these gifts that they received came from faith, so it was kind of a rhetorical question for them, but Paul's wanting to just remind them where this came from. It wasn't the works that led to the Holy Spirit and these miraculous gifts, it was faith. So this difference between God's grace and the old law is that grace is the way of the Spirit, and the law is the way of the flesh. As it says in 3 there, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Is the flesh making you perfect? No. So the law is the way of the flesh, but God's grace is the way of the Spirit. Stay in chapter 3, but move down to verse 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Paul's writing here that Jesus has redeemed us all from the curse of the law. He is calling the old law a curse. Now, I looked up this word curse. I was curious to see what it meant in the Greek, and it brought me to another use of it in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 8. This was describing some useless ground. So actually, I'll read verses 7 and 8 from Hebrews chapter 6. So it's going to compare kind of good ground to bad ground. For the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. I think that verse 8, I think that relates a lot to the old law that Paul is describing here. This land described in Hebrews is useless. It's full of thorns and briars. You're not going to be able to farm on it. You just need to burn it all off and get rid of it. It's useless. It's come to its end. And that's what Paul says the old law has come as well. Paul says that the old law is cursed. It's now useless. It doesn't have its function anymore. It's come to its end because of Jesus' sacrifice. And then likewise, Paul calls it a blessing that the Gentiles might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the grace of God, salvation through grace of God, is a blessing, but the old law is a curse. Still in chapter 3, now I'll be reading from verse 23 to 25. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Paul admits that the law, even though now it is useless, it wasn't always useless. It did have a purpose. It kept God's people under guard until faith would be revealed. And he said that the old law was a tutor to bring them to Jesus. But people don't stay with their tutors forever. Tutors are usually kind of a short-term solution just to kind of get you back where you need to go. And after you've learned what you've needed from the tutor, you move on. So once faith came, there was no need of a tutor. So the law was intended to only be a means to an end. It was to bring people to Christ so that they could hear the new law and hear about God's grace. And the path of salvation through God's grace is his desired intention. The grace of God that leads us to salvation, it also results in us having an intimacy, a closeness with God and with Jesus. This is found in Galatians chapter 3 and 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When we put on our clothes, our clothing is very close to us. It's obviously touching us. It's surrounding us. It's keeping us warm if we're cold. We're very close to what we have put on. When we are baptized into Christ, it says we put on Christ. So he is close to us. There's an intimacy then with Christ by having him be around us, surrounding us. But Galatians 5 and 4 says that the law results in a separation from Jesus. Galatians 5 and 4. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. It says you have become estranged from Christ. You've been separated from Jesus. So salvation through grace brings us close to God and Jesus. the law separated them from Jesus. In chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, I'll be reading there next. Galatians 4, 6 and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. By having faith in their salvation through God's grace, Paul is telling the Galatians that they could be sons and heirs of God. But without that grace, without believing in that grace and that faith, it says that they would remain a slave. And slavery was practiced in Galatia at this time, and even though there were some rules and regulations kind of about that slavery, it was still wasn't looked upon very well to be a slave. You wouldn't want to be a slave. So Paul was wanting to remind them that they will remain a slave without the grace of God. So God's grace makes us an heir, a son and an heir of God, but the law keeps someone a slave. Galatians 5 and 1. 5 and 1 says, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So this one's kind of similar to the previous one. God's grace brings liberty, a freedom, while the law burdens us with bondage and holding us back. And then chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. Salvation through God's grace, it's going to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of that Spirit. And then the law, it's going to depend on, it depends on our on human effort. It depends on what we can do rather than the Holy Spirit working in us. So 5 and 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The works of the flesh, as listed there, are not good things to have in our lives. And that's, if we try to keep the law ourselves, that's what it will eventually lead to. Because that's what the works of the flesh are. That's what, when you depend on human works, that's what that will lead to. But it is through the fruits of the Spirit that it mentioned there, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control that we get from the grace of God, that will lead us to our salvation. And finally, chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. This old law, again, it was centering around this act of circumcision, and this extra act that they had to do, felt they had to do, in order to be saved. Whereas the salvation through grace centers only on the cross and the act and the work that Jesus did in sacrificing himself upon that cross. That was the work that completed everything. That was the final work. So the works of the old law were not needed anymore because of the work of Jesus. There was a time when the old law served its purpose. Its rules and regulations and structure kept an entire nation focused on God for centuries. They might have strayed from time to time, but they always came back, eventually, to God. And there was this time then when this law was no longer needed. These rules, the structure was no longer needed, and people were not comfortable with getting rid of those rules and that structure in their life. So they wanted to return. But they didn't have to, because of the work of Jesus, as I mentioned. In those rules, there was a list of various sacrifices that had to be made depending on the type of sin that you made. If you sin in your life, there's certain animals you had to sacrifice in order to be clean. Jesus is our sacrifice. He was a sacrifice for all of us to cleanse us from our sins forever, not just a weekly sacrifice, a monthly sacrifice, a yearly one, once and for all, and it's done. His sacrifice cleans us all. So that's what I wanted to look at this morning with comparing the old law and the struggle these churches of Galatia were having in wanting to keep the parts of the old law, thinking they needed to do more. There's nothing more that needs to be done. Jesus' sacrifice covered it all. And it's because of that sacrifice, with that sacrifice, we have the opportunity to have our sins forgiven. And with forgiveness comes eternal life with God in heaven. If you need him in your life in any way, first time or another time, you're welcome to come forward as we stand and sing.